The following programming is sponsored by D&D Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show here on WWDB Talk 860. Have a fantastic broadcast. Dr. Mark Cohen, Oxford Rehabilitation Center, is in the house. Doc, how are you, sir?
Good. Oh, good to see you.
It's always a pleasure. And who's the guest to my right again?
The pretty Ileana.
Ileana, marketing director?
Yeah, she's my social media director.
Hello, Ileana. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Shout out to Tyler in the booth. Doc, obviously we've had some spirited conversations on the broadcast. Our labor community is out there listening, and certainly and talk about our union community. Unfortunately, injuries happen, especially when you talk about construction. And it's always a, it's a fine line. I had a guy call me the other day with a situation I'll bring up, but if before we do that, if you would introduce yourself to our listeners and a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Sure. First of all, Joe, thank you for having me. And
pleasure.
Also, I guess I should thank Dr. Stephen.
Dr. Bruce Grossinger.
Bruce Grossinger, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Bruce. Doc is a sponsor of the broadcast, and he, by the way, sends his he wanted to call in. He's on a flight that is late, and so he said he's just bored now, but he said have Dr. Mark Cohen have a great broadcast. He's a great doctor and does great things for our labor community. So he'll join you in the next time. But having said that, remind our listeners about yourself.
So I've been in practice for, over 30 years. And our facility is very unique. We have a 10,000 square foot facility with aquatic therapy, land therapy, physical therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture. My partner, Wendy Wang, is an acupuncturist from China and did over 4,000 needles a day in the hospital.
Wow.
She does cupping. We have two great physicians, Robert Carabelli, who is excellent at EMG studies. In fact, if you look at our Instagram, Oxford Rehab Philly _, you'll see a number of stories. One of a patient talking about how gentle Dr. Carabelli has been in doing the EMG studies, the best EMG person in the city. And then, of course, Dr. Danny Hernandez, who does medical management and will do injections, and he'll do Botox and some scar management, which is very important. And our practice is, again, unique in many functions. First of all, my background is not only was I the chiropractor, but I was the medical director for U.S. Healthcare and then Aetna. And then another company nationwide as a medical director, setting up policies and procedures. I set up numerous hospital-based programs. Chiropractors really do that. And I was the medical director for Franklin Square Hospital that became Cooper Hospital of Philadelphia. Set up a chiropractic residency program with Graduate Hospital, then Presbyterian Hospital. And then in addition, I was the first affiliate of Atlanticare down the shore in setting up a practice and seeing trauma-based patients. But in addition to that, my practice is widely diverse. We see a lot of musculoskeletal injuries, whether they be patients who are involved in motor vehicle accidents, workers' comp, the working warrior. The union population is huge, like you said. Even if they don't get into injuries, they're doing a lot of heavy lifting and poses a threat to their musculoskeletal system. Older people, and of course, now I treat 9 professional boxers. The most noted is Jerome Boots Ennis, who was just at the sold-out Wells Fargo for the second time in the last few months.
And you know, Doc, when you it's amazing. What we talked about the professional boxing, obviously the labor, it's a very diverse practice. What are, you know, there's a synergy and a crossover there when it comes to professional sports and work injuries. We had on a workers' comp attorney yesterday who happened to treat the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Okay. And very, you know, so it there is obviously crossover when it comes to workers' compensation. I don't think, you know, Jalen Hurts is real worried about his, his pay, okay, getting his lost wages. But what the attorney said was it's weird because these guys have multiple different injuries. They may get injured last week, their ankle, and this week they could be their shoulder and different, and they may recover them. But point is, sports and you know, work injuries and personal injuries, there's a lot of, you know, crossover there. Talk about the professional boxers and the type of injuries that they, you know, that you treat, okay? And how does that work when it comes to, you know, a work injury, a personal injury, or is it just a regular injury that would take out regular insurance?
Well, of course I love my boxers, but for some reason they always seem to get injured 4 to 6 weeks before the fight.
Right, right.
And then when they present to me, there is no workers' comp for the boxer. There's no work-related injury. They're going to get their head bashed in if they're not in excellent shape. And, you know, we did a video where, I patted my heart as the heartbeat because these guys need the fight. You're talking about the money that they have to pay for trainers.
Yeah.
Promoters, there's a whole team behind them. And if they don't make that fight, you're looking about a huge loss of dollars.
Yeah.
And my responsibility is, in a high-end athlete, is not just to get them better, but to make sure they can perform to their high end of capacity. And certain fighters I can't mention right now, there's a very well-known female fighter, and by the way, female boxing is growing. The fastest sport, I'm not sure if people realize, are female fighters.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Mike Tyson fight.
Of course.
But that female, those women.
Seriano, yes. Unbelievable.
Mother of God, it was one of the, and you saw her eye. I mean, that was one of the most brutal injuries I'd ever seen, and they let her fight.
Now, let me correct that. So one of my partners is Arthur Nahas. And Arthur was the physician at the Tyson fights in New Jersey. And as soon as I walked in, I said, did you see the fight last night? Because it was the night before. And he goes, yes. And I said, I would have called that fight. And he goes, absolutely. That was horrendous.
Yeah.
That the doctor didn't call that fight with that laceration over the eye.
Oh.
And here's the problem. That tissue is going to heal as a scar tissue. And every time she gets hit, that's the first thing that's going to open up. And not calling the fight when they should have called the fight for that headbutt.
Yeah.
She should have won that fight.
She should have.
It was just horrendous.
It was actually hard. I've seen a lot of fights. I'm a big boxing fan, especially growing up. And I have never seen an injury like that. And They kept it going. I mean, it was almost, you know, it was hard to watch.
Should have been called. Should have been called. It wasn't called. And I don't know what happened to the physician on board, but he should have been called to the medical board for that.
Oh, no question about it. So it's interesting. So boxing, you know, when it comes to, you know, injuries that, like you mentioned, it's not a work injury or anything like that. It's just a regular injury. Is that how that you would think? So, that the, you know, regular insurance companies would say, you know what, that's done in the scope of their work in their career. But yeah, how's that work?
It's general insurance. That's it. And you know, the like one of the patients now that I'm seeing has a fractured elbow. In fact, she said to me when I got emergency call, I got to see her. And she has a fight coming up in a few weeks. So I do the examination and I go, we need an x-ray right away. I believe you have a fracture. And one of the tools that I use in the office, is the most valuable tool to me, is the tuning fork 256.
Sure.
You could put that tuning fork over any bone. And if there's sharp pain, there's a good chance you're dealing with a fracture. So I said, you have a fracture. And she said, no way. I've had this pain before. I said, well, that's great. We need the x-ray. And of course, I'm connected everywhere. So I can get her in to see any specialist. And that's one of my values, regardless if it's my sports injured patient or the general population. If you need a procedure done, I can get you in almost any location.
You have a vast network.
Yeah, and that's a key part of getting of the team. So when my neurosurgeons know that I'm sending you for a neurosurgical condition, they know it's for a procedure-based. So anyway, I get her immediately to the x-ray. X-ray comes back, fracture. And now I got a problem. She's got a fight coming up. So I've got to resolve that fracture. Then I've got to be able to get motion back. Then I've got to be able to get her into a high level. But thank God, as most of my fighters that are in, and that's one of the best parts, these people are in top shape condition.
Oh my God, yeah.
So to get them better, it's amazing. We have video of course, two other fighters. DJ, young fighter, he's 2-0. He fought at the Wells Fargo. So imagine starting your career at the Wells Fargo. Well, is that a hell of a career to start with?
All downhill from there as far as the venues go, you
yes.
know.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So he had a fight, and he came to me, and he couldn't lift his arm 60 degrees. And it's like, wait a second. The fight is less than 5.5 weeks away. So we have a pool. I put him in the pool. We did taping. I did passive manual therapy on him. And in 3 visits, his arm went straight up to the top. And I said, DJ, what was the magic? And he goes, the pool and the taping. And that was it. The 3rd visit, he had clicking. By the 4th visit, the clicking went away. And the best part that I can brag about now, and I hope my fractured patient says the same thing, okay, is that every case that I had with a shoulder, and he asked me what kind of injuries, I've had common is hands, shoulders, elbows, and a knee case, all that looked unstable, and within 3 to 4 visits, got them back, and they all won. They all won convincingly.
Oh, really?
So that's a great
story. Now,
the
chiropractic adjustments often help when there's impingements and stuff like that?
Sure, and it's a tool. It's one of the tools that we use. Manipulation, acupuncture, cupping, Graston, aquatic therapy. Our physical therapists work in the joints and creating mobilization and then strengthening the tissue. Every one of them have an advantage. And having it under one roof with other physicians that are also like me, they keep up with the research because we need to be on the edge of these people having the advantage going into the fight.
How did you get into that, the boxing?
Oh, it's funny. I don't know, about 15 to 20 years ago, there was an attorney that I knew very well. Unfortunately, he passed, and I'm not sure if I should mention his name. He was a promoter. And I get a call, and he goes, Dr. Cohen, I got a real problem. And his first name was Andrew. I said, sure, Andrew, what's the problem? He goes, I got a fighter fighting at Al Ibrahim. Do you remember Al Ibrahim, which then became South Philly Arena?
Yeah.
And I go, okay, what's the story? And again, it's always 4 to 6 weeks. I don't get it.
Right.
Stop getting into a major problem 4 to 6 weeks before
right,
the fight.
Right.
He said, my fighter was walking across the street and hit by a SEPTA bus. And he's got a fight in 4 weeks. Well, there, of course, there's my heart pounding. And this is a major fight to bring him upwards. So he comes in. I say, you're coming in every single day, including Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
And then we applied everything that we had, from water therapy to Wii therapy. I'm throwing his boxing to manipulation to passive manual therapy to taping and everything. So the fight occurs at Al Ibrahim, and of course I'm there, and he knocks the guy out in 1 minute and 22 seconds.
Wow.
And so I don't know if you're, were you ever in Al Ibrahim?
I don't think I was.
So there is a part when you enter in above the steps where there's a VIP section, and after the fight, Andy taps me on the shoulder, he's the promoter and the attorney, goes, they're calling you down to the rink. And there's my fighter, Andrew Butler. And I go down, and there's the guy from the Daily News. And he goes to me, wasn't this guy just hit by a SEPTA bus? I go, yes. And he goes, he knocked the guy out in 1 minute and 22 seconds. How did you do that? And that started my career with that.
You know, it's amazing when you talk about, are these types of injuries, okay, and that, by the way, that I'm sure your people come out of the woodworks at that point, but if you're able to, you know, obviously create a situation where you can get them back to the best of their ability in that amount of time. Granted, obviously, he didn't have a compound fracture of his pelvis, but I'm sure he was pretty beat up. And so, but are there differences in sports injuries that you see? By the way, it's funny because Dr. Grossinger, he as a neurologist, he does a lot of stem cell with retired pro athletes. That's why I was so sorry that we couldn't get the two of us on the same show, because he does the platelet rich plasma.
PRP, yes.
Yeah,
and Danny does the same.
Right, and so and the rehabilitation of these pro athletes, you figure boxing and professional football, like Wilbert Montgomery would be somebody who is a patient of docs, and they come in from all over the country. Although I told them the only thing, you should only be doing Eagles, nobody else. Okay. Definitely no Cowboys. But having said that, it's amazing, what, these are potentially catastrophic injuries, that if not treated, could last, could have a lasting effect the rest of some
career ending.
Yeah, I mean, and so, is it a new, relatively new area where, especially boxing, because boxing, and I told you we have some relationships at labor's. Big supporters of boxing, right? I mean, especially, I told you I had Tim Witherspoon on with Caitlin Files, who's a work comp attorney in the area. We did that show. Actually, Tim Witherspoon's son has a gym, and it's a training gym where they do boxing techniques and all that, and up in Levittown area. And so we did the show in the middle of the ring. It was incredible. And, he was the only heavyweight champion ever born in Philadelphia. What a cool guy. He's even called in the show. But we have great relationships with boxers. Philadelphia, growing up, were you a fan of boxing?
Sure. Muhammad Ali and
Joe Frazier.
And Holmes and Frazier and
Ken Norton and George Foreman.
George Foreman, how you had to love that.
That was the golden age. Like, in other words, you had guys, and that it's so hard to become the heavyweight champ of the world. Tim, I think, won it twice, and he's one of the coolest dudes I ever met. And it was so cool being in the middle of a ring. We had the recording, the radio show recording equipment there and all. But you remember back in the day when you had guys like Ron Lyle and Ernie Shavers, and they were never champs because of the guys we just talked about, could you imagine if they were in different eras, they would have been world champs for ages.
Well, let's take Boots Ennis right now.
Sure.
There are four belts in his division, and the other belt holders don't want to fight Boots because they don't want to take the chance of losing their ranking and lose up and give up their belt.
Sure.
So, I mean, now it's even worse.
Yeah, I mean, the money, and you got Ultimate Fighting and all, and I mean, that's, it's such a big market for all those things. But boxing is still, the big money is in the boxing. I got to know, Joe Hand Sr., knew him a little bit. He was at my father's funeral. God rest his soul. He just passed away not long ago. But Joe Hand Jr. also. But he promoted the first, Joe Hand Sr. promoted the first Ali Frazier fight. It was the fight of the planet, not just the century. I mean, just incredible stuff. But he was married, you know, Mr. Johann Sr. was married to the sister of a group of iron workers in our, the Joyce family, just a legendary group of iron workers. That's the union I come from. So we're big boxing fans. So it's really awesome to hear that, you know, that your techniques are helping people engage and stay in their fights. Let's take a quick break. We're going to have more from the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show with Dr. Mark Cohen in just a minute.
Love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather,
oh, yeah. So. I got 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We're here with Dr. Mark Cohen, chiropractor, Oxford Rehabilitation Center, treats injured workers, you know, injury victims, professional athletes, and boxers, as well as, and you know, you accept a variety of insurances. It's a fascinating conversation. We're talking about, you know, the doc's treatment of professional boxers, and Philadelphia is such a rich boxing history, right? And so I live in East Falls, 5 minutes from the station, and grew up there. As you can imagine, in order for me to get downtown, I don't like to take 76. So I take the drive. The Rocky statue's right there, right? And I mean, and now they got a new shop there, like, you know, where you can get memorabilia. I have been to the Liberty Bell a couple of times. It's just like anything in life. We're all from the area, so we take it for granted. We could see it anytime we want, right? But the Rocky statue, it has to be competitive with the Liberty Bell in regards to visitors. You could go there and be driving by in the middle of the night, and somebody will have their arms up like they're champion, like they're Rocky. But I could say this, it would be a cold day in hell before or a real storm before there would not be a line at the Rocky statue. And boxing has always been a symbol, okay, of our culture. That so Philadelphia, as you know, is an underdog city. We're right next to New York, right? And so so really our rich boxing history is there. I mean, and being a passionate fan. I remember when Joe Frazier lost to George Foreman, my dad went to the closed circuit fight, right? And I'll never forget it. I get up early in the morning. You know, I'm getting ready for school. My dad was, I got up earlier than normal and ran in. Hey, Dad, I forget what year the fight was, but it was early 70s, obviously. And I remember I was born in 64, so whatever it was, I remember going into his bedroom, he had the lights on, and I'm like, how do you do it? And he told me, he said, Joe, he got killed. And I was devastated. Now, you know, there was just a clash in styles there. That was a bad, bad matchup for Joe Frazier. Okay, but that's how much we loved our boxing. And Joe Frazier's gym, I think, is going to get funding as a landmark.
It should.
So, did you hear that?
No, but it should. You know what else should? The Blue Horizon.
Yeah, the Blue Horizon. But they used to say this, and I don't know, Mark, if you heard this, but that a lot of Philly fighters, like remember Willie DeRoe Monroe and a lot of the, they the gym wars were so bad that by the time they actually got
themselves out.
Yeah. Like, in other words,
especially at Joe's, Frazier's gym was known for doing that. And you mentioned Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
Rocky Balboa.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what school he went to? Because he went to my alma mater.
Yeah, and you went to my wife's alma mater then. Lincoln.
Yes.
When did you go to Lincoln?
1978, I graduated.
Okay, she was 82. So she was from... By the way, have you been to Lincoln? Have you seen Lincoln lately?
Because they rebuilt it.
Oh, my God. They have a lot of really awesome programs that are career-oriented, career-technical learning. You get to pick... Oh, my God. You don't hear those stories in the news often enough. But... It's just fascinating what culture boxing, you know, what a big part of our culture here in Philadelphia is. What are the most common injuries aside from, a head trauma or something like that? Are there common injuries that boxers, receive, while training that are common? Yeah, obviously, being hit by a bus is not common, but.
Well, there are common, but you brought something up that is important, not just for the boxer, also for the motor vehicle and workers' comp, and that's the traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
And so I have to know my traumatic brain injury criteria, and there's a thing called the sports concussion protocols, which is now called the SCAT-6. They've grown. And if you don't know that, and I could tell you from experience – many physicians and even the hospitals don't even screen for the SCAT-6, which is a sad, sad story. If you don't pick up a traumatic brain injury, which could be, we call the mild, moderate, and severe. Severe, I'm not going to see because they're never leaving the hospital. But I picked up moderate and mild, severe, a mild traumatic brain injuries, which is a concussion.
Yeah.
And by the way, just so we're clear, a CAT scan or an MRI, contrast or non-contrast, will not pick up a concussion. And there's reasons for it, and I'll gladly do a whole show on concussions and traumatic brain injury. What they're looking for a CT study is a brain shift, a subdural or a subarachnoid hematoma, bleed in the brain. But a concussion is a micro disorder of the firing off of the neurons. And I've got great stories that I could talk about from concussion that was totally missed from the ED to the urgent care to the family doctor to the specialist, totally blowing it off and needing significant interaction. And I'll just give a call out. Mike Mello from Jefferson is the guy that I use for when I identify concussions and TBI. And the top guy for neuropsych is in New York, Alkin Goldberg, NYU, clinical professor, wrote numerous books and papers. These guys are the guys that I turn to with significant TBI.
What's it called? CTE? What's it when a lot of the pro athletes, especially football players, but I'm assuming boxers also, they've had so many concussions that.
They're cumulative.
Yeah.
Cumulative in effect. So it's not one concussion plus but one concussion.
I've heard the same
two.
Thing you're saying. Like, who was it? Junior Seau committed suicide and he dedicated his brain to science because you couldn't detect the issue. I forget what it's called, CTE or something, but. Without them actually doing a cross section of your brain,
there's new techniques out there. There's biomarkers that are coming out. A biomarker, is when you break the cell down. The information from that cell can tell you where the cell's from, and can identify certain markers that are responsible for concussion that no one seems to be doing in the Philadelphia market. Why, I have no idea. Maybe the insurance company doesn't want to pay for those biomarkers, and they're short-lived. So you got to identify them early. And many times I won't see the patient until much later on. And so I won't be able to do the biomarkers for that.
Well, I'm actually right now as we're talking, I'm looking up... CTE, diagnosis of CTE. What Junior Seau had, chronic traumatic
endosynophthalmia. Yeah.
Right. So, and so that is something that it's amazing, you know, like that they can't detect that until after they actually do the autopsy and take the brain tissue.
Well, there's new techniques that are going out.
Okay.
I would gladly dedicate a whole time if you want to go over that.
Yeah.
And explain the process and the workup. But I mean, I've had people see neuropsychs in the area, a neuropsychologist who does a battery of tests, and had numerous studies and were negative. And yet, one woman, for example, worked at the Atlantic City Convention Center, and her job was to give directions to people. She lost her ability to see in 3D and give directions to people. Everything else was normal, but she couldn't give directions.
Well, how many concussions does it, and we're going to do a show on it, but I'm just saying, how many concussions does it take for somebody to have even a small amount of that? In other words,
it could be one impact. In fact, there's a study, and if we do the show, I'll bring in the research articles that showed that if you had just one concussion, that was just one concussion, a mild TBI, those students, the percent of failure in college was significantly higher than anyone else.
Right.
So there are things that are being picked up and misdiagnosed or not diagnosed until much later on, when if they did get the earlier help, could make a significant effect.
You know, I watch, so I had a couple concussions while playing football. And the one thing I know is that even when I'm watching a pro or college game, I know in football, some of those concussions do not happen when the two guys hit heads like Rams. It's when, you know, I'm sure they happen then, but they do not only happen then. If you sideswipe the side of somebody's helmet, that's how mine happened, okay? And it wasn't a head-on, hard banging. It was the side where the person glanced off. I wonder sometimes, how many people, how many concussions somebody had,
So you bring up a very valid point, and it's one of the things that are said in research. You do not need a direct head hit to have a concussion. The vibration or the force of being thrown forward and then stopping, where your brain is being thrusted against the hard shell, which is the skull.
Sure.
You do not need a direct hit to have a concussion. A lot of insurance companies like to use that in their argument, but the truth is, and the research shows, you do not need a direct hit to have a concussion.
So, having said that, and it's a very interesting point, man, and you're right. That's a full show. Let's get into, let's get into what some of the other things that we're going to talk about on today's show. Okay, talk about injured workers and injury victims. So one thing I wanted to discuss was to inform our listeners about functional capacity evaluations, okay, FCEs, at the treatment. Talk about them and what they are.
Okay. So in our center, we do functional capacity evaluations. When I do an FCE, I also include a medical exam. Classically, an FCE does not include a medical exam. Now, let me give you the example of a medical exam very briefly. Beside the history, the examination, past medical, we go through certain things that we look for in the patient. We look at inspection, what they look like. We check their motion of the joints that are injured. We look to see the strength of how they can contract. We'll use reflex hammers and sensation to see what their loss of sensation is. And we may look vascular as well. And then from there, we come up with a conclusion. But let me tell you something. Joe, if I have you stand and bend down, and I had you lean back and lean left or right and bring your left leg up and right leg up and use pinwheels, nobody could tell how much you could lift, how much you can push, how much you can carry.
Right, right, exactly.
And therefore, the medical exam, even by the federal government, says you should not do a medical exam to determine the patient's ability to return to work.
It's funny because I noticed something 2 years ago in the World Series. one of the best players for Texas Rangers. They won it. He injured himself. Or he won MVP of the National at the American League Championship Series. He played in one game in the World Series, and they pulled him out. He hurt himself. He's that incredible player. I'll remember his name, of course, when we. But I could tell you this: when they won that championship, he jumped over the fence and went out there. Now that's a great example right there of somebody who looks healthy, jumped the fence and jumped on top of the pile, but couldn't play. Okay, and there's a guy. It's a Major League Baseball World Series. He wanted to play. That's an example of what you're saying. You know, you might be able to touch your toes and do different things, but you have no idea if you can iron work and do the things that, you know, you need to do on the job. What is the purpose of the FCE?
So exactly as it states, to see what your functions are. And the functions can be as simple as didactic, touching little objects and picking it up, what your feel is, and not just your feel to sharp and dull. Have a cold and hot with people with CRPS or nerve damage. You can tell hot or cold and becomes a danger to them. How about the ability of lifting, carrying, pushing, walking? We test them going up and down the steps. We test them going up and down a ladder. We have them do actual heavy lifts and monitor them and videotape them so we can pick up things.
Well, talk about, you know, and you can use those things to document or help, you know, in a work injury or a third-party injury because they provide documentation, right? I mean, in other words—
You can see where they're— and then, by the way, that's what the law says. In motor vehicle, what is your functional loss? Just because you have a herniated disc doesn't really describe that. And I want to give you one example of what we did in the FCE that I think you'll find fascinating. So one of my patients was a outdoor construction worker and had to build scaffolding. And as part of our FC, which is different than everyone else's, we have, and by the way, we use proof of them telling us the truth. How do we do that? They wear a pulse meter. We take their blood pressure, their pulse ox, the amount of oxygen in their blood, their respiration rate, and the pulse rate goes through the whole procedure. And there's only two reasons why that rises, one because of pain and the other because of effort. So we'll know if someone's not telling the truth. And I'll tell them, listen, I'm for you. I'm documenting. Give me your full effort. Let me find the problems. And this guy, and some of the older union guys are tough as steel.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to admit that they have any problems.
Right.
Well, this guy in his job lost, his second digit. Okay? Oh. Lost his second digit. It was cut off. And he said, I can still do my job. And I said, well, let's go through all the testing. And we actually had him bring scaffolding into our office. Oh, this is outside the office. And build the scaffolding. And most of his job was done on the second or third level of the scaffolding. So we're documenting his pain because it's developing CRPS, which is very, you know, the hand becomes very sensitive, but he's a tough guy. And he works through it even though his heart rate is going up and his blood pressure is going up and respiration and he's sweating and he's having difficulty putting it together. But he puts the first level up. And now his job is to put the second level up. And I said, okay, show me how you're going to do the second level. Because he said, I can do this. He couldn't lift himself up from the first level to the second level because he's missing his second digit.
Right.
You try lifting your body weight up. And only then did he realize, oh my gosh, I really can't do this job.
Well, these are like independent, true independent evaluations, right? In other words, you're
I just want the truth. Right. I document the documentation and let it fall. So I gave a lecture to DJS, one of the most prestigious forensic companies in the United States. And in my video, I showed a woman who lost, she had a high knee, above knee amputation. Very pretty girl, a nurse. And we challenged her with balance, which is one of the things we did. And this girl is tough and she went skiing and she's a nurse or was a nurse. So I videotaped her going up the steps and then turning around and going down. And by the way, the IME doctor said she got a prosthesis. She's fine.
Yeah.
What problem does she have?
Right.
Well, first of all, when you have an amputation or you have CRPS, or you're in an Una boot too long, the chances of you developing back pain or the unaffected normal leg is anywhere, depending on the research, of 50 to 90%, of which some of that research came out from the U.S. military. So you're going to have problems on the other side. But when she came down the step, her prosthetic doesn't have sensation. It doesn't know where the foot's stepping. And each step going down, she got further and further off the landing, where everyone at DJS grasped and said, oh my gosh, she's susceptible to falls. Right. No wonder. But no exam's going to see that unless you videotape it and you put them through the steps. And when I had her push and pull, that prosthetic leg was only used to maintain the position. All the pressure was from the unaffected leg. So how long do you think it's going to take for that unaffected leg to go? It's doing twice the work.
So, Doc, you know, and that is valuable information, obviously, and it's on non-biased and objective.
And that's a key part.
You know, let's talk about the treatment facility and the services.
Sure.
You know, at your facility.
Well, let's talk. One of the most successful things that we have is the water therapy program.
Aquatic therapy, right?
Yes. And especially for my boxers, or even getting people, trying to get them back to their functions. In the water, your weight doesn't become a factor, where gravity is a factor in everything that we do. And we have an underwater treadmill that we can restore normal walking gait. That itself is a whole lecture on. And when someone has surgery, anybody who has joint surgery, I don't care if it's the shoulder, I don't care if it's the knee, the spine, watch their face when they walk. Because the first thing they do is look down at their feet because they lost the proprioception. Right. Proprioception is the information of your joints, what position it is and where it is. You lose that. So now you have to look down to use your eyes to determine that.
Sure.
So in the pool, you can't really see the bottom. You can, but because the wave is going. And it forces us to teach you how to normally walk again. This is known as restoring functional movements. And my boxers, I can put them in the water. And we, again, go to our website or go to our Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X. We all show this, where they're in the water working out. And I can make it significantly tougher than them out of water. In fact, Tyler Smalls, who had a fight not too long ago, had a real bad shoulder problem, put him in the water. And I said to him, we give him these yellow devices that are large.
How old is he?
He's 23, I think.
Okay. Because I got friends named Smalls that are, you know, from that, you know, boxing and ultimate fighting area.
So we put them in these devices that make it much harder to throw a punch and receive in the water because you got water resistance, no gravity. And we do 3-minute rounds with a minute rest to reproduce what they do in the ring. And it is tough. I mean, I have Andy Cruz, who is, you're going to see him fight Tang soon, and Shakur. I have, Boots will tell you, Ishmael Muhammad, Stacia, who we just got better, who won her 2-0. And of course, Smalls. And when I said the Smalls, I said, let me ask you a question. Which workout is harder? Bozy Ennis's. Bozy, by the way, is the father of Boots, and he has a gym on Grant and Bustleton Avenue.
Yep.
A great gym. And Bozy and his two sons, he has three sons, but two sons are the coaches. And I joked with Tamar, I said, which workout is tougher, my workout or Bozy's workout? And his response was, don't tell Bozy. I go, I'm videotaping it. He's going to see this anyway. You'll get an unbelievable workout. Stacia does a great story on working out in the pool and how it differs. And
I mean, it sounds like this type of, working out in therapy is just, it's so much more advanced than, you know, and you're monitoring it, right? You're watching.
I'm there. Or Wendy Wang, my partner, who's a DPT, Doctor of Physical Therapy, is there.
So we got about, you know, this is flying by. Briefly, talk about the acupuncture and the cupping and the chiropractic care. And what's that? The kinesiotaping.
Yes. Right. So it's funny because in order for me to do kinesiotaping, I had to take a licensed course. Many people now, they sell it over the counter, so they think they're putting it on right. But it really, you really need to know the tissue. In fact, one time Boots was in, and I said, "Boots, what the hell's that on your ankle?" He goes, "Kinesio tape." I go, "Who the hell put that on?" And he said, "Someone at the gym." And I go, no. I take it off. I retape it. And he stands up. Bozy walks in, his father. And I go, "How's it feel?" He goes, "This is what it's supposed to do." I go, "Yes." And then his father goes, "That's the difference between a professional doing it and someone from the gym doing
it." Yeah. I mean, and you also do acupuncture.
Wendy is an acupuncturist. I took acupuncture, but when someone does 4,000 needles a day in China for the most complex conditions,
right?
I'm not wasting anybody's time.
I've never had it, but I like how effective is, you know, a good acupuncturist.
Let me tell you, she can get people out of pain very quickly, and from pain to ability of functioning, to smoking loss, to eating loss and change in behavior patterns. She's excellent. And acupuncture is a vital tool in her practice.
What is cupping?
So cupping, what it does is it's suction cups that goes over the arms or the back, and it creates kind of like a hickey. In fact, the swimmer, what's his name? The U.S. Olympic swimmer.
Michael Phelps.
Who?
Michael Phelps,
yeah.
Yeah, he brought that in. And it is amazing on breaking up the scar tissue and getting movement better. And people feel awesome with the cupping.
When I look at, the amazing amount, you know, the physical therapy machines, talk about the equipment that you have.
Well, you asked me about chiro, so I'll just tell you, a lot of people have a fear of the adjustment. It's scary. You hear the crack. But as we have multiple pitchers, especially my fighters, and adjusting them, and the reaction to it is just amazing because they laugh. They go, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I can move. I can't move." And I'm sure you've experienced that same thing.
It's the best ever. So now, what do you do with somebody if they're very tense, or, you know, like, in other words, before, like, do you do any pre-treatment so
absolutely
that their muscles,
so
how do you do that?
I always tell the patient, first of all, right after an accident, I may not adjust them because there's swelling, there's ecchymosis, they're very tender. So we use machines like interferential and high volt and microwave and ultrasound and hot packs and cold packs. And we use flutotherapy, which is deep sand treatment for the hands and legs. And we try and reduce the swelling to get some movement. And then you can take the patient, when you reduce that pain, to get the movement of the joints. But I don't like doing it unless the patient has an ability of not a huge amount of pain, because I think it may irritate them. So reduce it first with the passive manual therapies and then do the manipulation.
You talk about medical management, okay. What is that? Is that some, you know, what, when you have a maintenance program on somebody who is not, you're not only obviously a boxer or you know, a fighter who's constantly in harm's way, but, you know, a construction worker who's in the elements. What is the medical management
So medical management, we all have skill sets. My physical therapists have skill sets. My partner, Wendy, who's a physical therapist and acupuncture, have skill sets. Me as a manual manipulator and also doing some rehab. I do rehab and pool rehab. But for medical management, sometimes we need to bring in other guns to help the conditions. And putting someone on an NSAID or a muscle relaxer or reducing the swelling, or if we work trigger points and we can't break it, sometimes a dry needle or a wet needle where they inject into the trigger points to help reduce is a key component. And so Danny Hernandez does the medical management. If we need medication of any type, he's the expert that we rely upon to achieve that.
Electromyography.
Yes.
But I almost couldn't get that one out.
So. Well, that's good. So very simple. Let's use a union term to understand that. Let's look at our electricians. If you look up and you see the light go out on any of the light bulbs, the first thing that goes through your mind is something's wrong with the light bulb.
Right.
You fix the light bulb and it still doesn't work. Then you think something's wrong with the switch. So you may open the switch plate up and look at it, but you really don't know until you use an ohmmeter to see what the current is going through.
Yes.
That's an EMG. It measures the current of the nerves.
Okay. That's a word, EMG, I see. I've had them.
Okay. And there's two parts. There's the NCV, which measures the sensory component, and the EMG, which measures the motor component.
Doc, your team. Who's your team consists
Robert
of?
Carabelli. And let me tell you, I have, and if you've had EMGs.
I've had them.
So you know they can be very painful.
They can be painful. Somebody's having a hard time finding.
Yeah, so I could tell you, and we've done video on this. You can look up patients talking about it. I've had people go, I already had an EMG. No way in hell am I going through another EMG.
Yeah.
And I say, listen, I am telling you, Dr. Carabelli is the best in the industry. And I had two patients come up to me afterwards, and I said, well, how was it? And they crossed their arms and said, Dr. Carabelli can do my EMGs any time of the day. He is so gentle. And he does acupuncture, and they're acupuncture needles. So he knows how to go in, and he plays music, and he burns a candle to put the patient at total ease.
Awesome.
And he does an awesome job. I've never had anyone complain about the pain when he does it.
I'm signaling to my producer right now, who said we only have 3 minutes, that we're going another 45.
He just had a heart attack.
I know. Right. Sorry about that. Okay, the rest of the team?
So, Dr. Carabelli's key. Marty Lentz. Marty, I can't, you know, I tell people chiropractic care is excellent for reducing pain and restoring motion. But a good physical therapist will totally heal you after we achieve that goal. And so we'll incorporate immediately passive manual therapies, manipulation, and then within 30 days, we get you to Marty. And Marty, with all the different tools that we use for exercise, ends up healing the patient. And that's a key component to that. And of course, if there are issues that we see as a problem, then I'll send you out for interventional pain, neural surgery, orthopedics, rheumatology, concussion therapy.
Sure. I mean, you have a network, a vast network. Doc, if you would, contact, first of all, You work with injured workers and personal injury victims. Obviously, you work with with the attorneys.
Sure.
There's no out of pocket costs if I just want to confirm that if somebody's injured.
Correct.
And the fact that when you do, you testify on behalf of your clients if need be. That's one of the issues. A lot of people can't find doctors to actually take their back who are.
I love going to court. In fact, I've
you and I have had that conversation.
Cases.
You're the
love
best.
Love going to court.
And obviously the communication with the lawyers and the reports.
Absolutely. They're key. And other medical specialists. You got to be able to communicate with everyone.
Absolutely. How much time we got, Tyler? Okay, we got 2 minutes. I mean, it's incredibly important, okay, when you talk about, somebody's recovery, okay? Talk about the culture at the practice in regards to what clients can expect, bedside manner, and all those things.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And don't take my word for it. Go look at our reviews. We're like at a 4.9 with our reviews. And what most people say is when they leave our place, they feel like they're leaving our family because you become part of our family. And I think that's really key, not just physically, but mentally knowing that we're there for you and we'll find you specialists or any form of treatment that is beyond our doors. We'll bend over backwards to get that taken care of for you.
Contact information for you at the practice.
So we're at 6735 Harbison Avenue, Harbison and Bustleton in Northeast. Yep. Our phone number is 215-725-2000. And my email address is markcohen@comcast.net. But you could also reach Gerard Lawrence or G. Lawrence at oxfordrehab.net. And you could look us up on the website, www.oxfordrehab.com, or any of the other social media sites, which is Oxford Rehab Philly _.
Dr. Mark Cohen, that's Mark with a C, correct?
That is correct. C for class.
Want to thank you for being on our broadcast today. Of course, we want to shout out to Dr. Bruce Goshner for also making it happen. Stacia, right? Is that what it is? What?
Ileana.
Ileana.
Ileana. Okay. By the way, I probably have a little bit of that from some
concussion.
Pleasure to meet you. Want to shout out to Tyler, our producer. On behalf of Dr. Mark Cohen of Oxford Rehabilitation Center, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.